on this, or colleagues actually, when this work, the bulk of this work was done, I was actually working with a nonprofit organization that's based in D.C. called the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, and my colleague Dan Kinburn is a lawyer with currently a lawyer with that organization. I'd like to spend about, or the time that I have this morning, illustrating how, with a little energy and tenacity, scientific evidence can be used to influence health policy decisions. And in this case, I'm going to use the example of the dairy and weight loss health claims that are used in advertising. So here's a story I want to tell. So since 2003, we've been seeing advertising linking this relationship between dairy products and weight loss. These claims, it's really hard to see those. I wonder if there's something that could be done with the lighting in here. Thank you. The claim is that 3 servings of dairy products daily will aid in weight and fat loss. And the early versions of this were drink milk, lose weight. And actually, there wasn't a question mark after it. That's an error on my slide. And the ad says something like this. Make your weight loss plan more effective with dairy products. 24 ounces per day of milk, yogurt, or cheese will cause greater weight loss than just cutting calories. Dairy products speed up your metabolism so you will burn more fat. The next sort of version of these move to milk your diet, lose weight. And I have an example of one of these that I'm hoping will load. Okay. This first one is an ad with Sheryl Crow. I'm sure most of you have seen these ads in some version or another. This first one was an ad with Sheryl Crow. The second one is an ad with Serena Williams, a tennis player. And the language on that one says, "Lean machine. When it comes to winning titles, perfect form helps. So I serve up milk. Studies suggest people pursuing a healthy weight could lose more weight and burn more fat by including 24 ounces a day of low-fat or fat-free milk in their reduced-calorie diet instead of 8 ounces or less. That's what I call a nice return." So in the first case, it's any kind of dairy product, 24 ounces in 24 hours. And in the second case, they're saying, well, it needs to be with a reduced-calorie diet, and it needs to be low-fat dairy products. But it's a more enthusiastic advertising campaign. Let's think about this for a minute. Let's think about this idea that dairy products might help with weight loss. First of all, when you think about dairy products, the first thing that comes to mind is they're, for me anyways, is that they are a really good source of fat and saturated fat. Okay, most cheese is 60 to 80% of calories from fat, according to the, it's actually NHANES data, Food Will Get. Fluid milk is the number one source of fat in children's diets, or at least it was in the late 1990s. So it's not burgers, it's not french fries, it's not even cheese. It's fluid milk is the number one source of fat in kids' diets. Skim milk is 55% of calories from sugar. And low-fat chocolate milk, which you add the lactose and the added sugar, has the same sugar as cola, ounce for ounce. Okay, so. Off the top of my head, I don't think, gosh, I think if I wanted to get thinner, what I need to do is consume more dairy products. I mean, if you think about it, mammalian milks are a food that's designed for growth, right? They're foods that are designed to help baby mammals become larger mammals in a relatively short period of time. So conceptually, this notion doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But there was some background to this. Certainly heard lots about this, and we'll continue to hear lots about this, that there is an obesity crisis. There was some suggestive observational data that showed associations between increased milk consumption in the diet and lower BMIs at a single point in time. There's certainly a motivated industry, an industry that wants to be part of the solution to the obesity crisis. And potentially, if milk or dairy could be positioned as a solution to the obesity crisis, then that might improve sales. And in fact, this is information that was available on the web. The International Dairy Foods Association did a presentation to members of their organization in October presenting this idea. And they said, the National Dairy Council has been supporting a body of emerging science that suggests dairy can be part of the solution to the obesity crisis. And in this presentation, again, to industry players, they said that the goal is to introduce dairy's weight loss benefit by selling the science. One of the lines from some of the early drink milk, lose weight ads was, the secret's in the science. And the promotion was actually launched back in October 2003. Going backwards. And the promotion at that time was supported by a hypothesized mechanism that was worked out in, that had been worked out in rat studies, rat and mouse studies. There was, as I mentioned already, there was a little bit of suggestive evidence from the bone health literature. There was a study, a reanalysis of a group of studies done at Creighton University that showed that when they put women on calcium supplements for bone health, they found that over a number of years, those on the supplements ended up at lower weights than those who didn't have the supplements. So there's some suggestive evidence there, and a reanalysis of some studies that had already occurred. And then in the Cardia study, they found a higher dairy product intake was inversely associated with body mass index in overweight but not healthy weight adults. Okay, so there's some suggestive evidence out there. In addition, there's sort of between those studies and now, there's been quite a number of other cross-sectional and longitudinal studies done looking at this question. When you think about whether cross-sectional studies might be helpful in trying to understand this, it really doesn't make any sense if you're thinking about weight loss, which is something that has to occur over time. Right? If you're looking at a single point in time, you really can't make any conclusions about weight loss. And most of the associations in prospective studies, when they did see an association, were generally with a higher or lower rate of weight gain. Nobody's losing weight. The population that is gaining less weight is consuming more milk. Okay? So it's still not weight loss. And in some of the studies, including the two largest ones, we actually saw increased milk intake was associated with increased weight gain. Okay, so this is in the observational studies. So we decided when we were looking at these ads and feeling like maybe these ads are misleading and false or untruthful, we decided to go ahead and really dig into the literature on the actual clinical trials that have looked at this question, either intentionally or as a secondary outcome from a study on bone health. And so we asked the question, does the scientific evidence support claims that adding dairy to the diet aids in weight loss with or without energy restriction? Because the early ones were done, the early evidence was done without any calorie restriction, and some of the later ones were done when the people in the studies were actually on a reduced calorie diet and they had increased dairy or increased calcium in their diet. So we asked the question then, is the secret in the science? And we focused on the human experimental trials and divided them into these four categories. Basically, they're studies on whether or not, we looked at whether or not they were restricting energy and then whether or not they were consuming extra calcium in supplements or extra calcium as milk or other dairy products. And there was overall, there were 49 And I'll talk about this in a little bit more detail, but there were 49 randomized controlled trials that looked at this. This is actually to date. When we submitted our request that these ads be pulled, there weren't quite this many studies, but I thought I'd show you the up-to-date information. There were 38 that had been done that looked at this question of body weight or BMI without dieting, and 11 that had also included calorie restriction. And if you look at the bottom, well, the second from the bottom line, you'll see that most of these studies show no effect in either direction. In fact, 34 of the without dieting studies of the 38 show no effect on weight with the addition of either calcium or dairy products. And in the case of the reduced calorie diet, 7 out of the 11 show no effect. So just really briefly, what did the study show without dieting? 37 of the 38 trials of dairy product or calcium supplementation do not support the claim. 2 actually showed weight loss, and 1, the Davies study that I mentioned earlier, showed, 2 showed weight gain, and 1 showed weight loss, and that was with calcium supplementation, not with dairy. And then what about, because this is really the more relevant question, is it, because the later ads say calcium, or actually say adding dairy to the diet will help with weight loss if you're on a reduced calorie diet, okay? And then later on they say, if you're on a reduced calorie diet and your original calcium intake was low and you're overweight to start with. But early on it was just those two. And 11 studies to date have paired dairy or calcium supplementation with dieting in overweight or obese individuals. Seven of these don't show a significantly different weight loss in the dieters. 3 did observe greater weight loss in the high dairy dieters compared to the low dairy dieters. And 1 observed greater weight loss in calcium supplemented or calcium treated dieters compared to a placebo. So there's 4 studies that show some evidence. And actually they're in 4 studies in 3 trials. I'm going to take just a little closer look at these. All of these were done, the lead author in all of these studies was the same person. And all of the studies were quite small, the largest one having 34 adults. In each of the studies, the participants were asked and told how to reduce their caloric intake by 500 calories a day below energy balance. And in all 3, the high dairy consumers lost more weight than the low dairy consumers. When these studies came out, I thought, well, that's really interesting. Let's take a look at why that might be happening, because it doesn't make a lot of intuitive sense. And when I dug into the studies and was looking more closely at this information, I found that there's some real concerns, I think, with the way these studies were conducted. First of all, baseline calorie intake is not reported. Actual change in calorie intake is not reported. We don't know how well they met their caloric restriction. We don't know how well they... Did they meet the 500 calorie a day restriction or not? And there's no information about that. They do report mean intake for the groups, mean calorie intake for the groups, but they don't tell us the starting calorie intake, so we have no idea on a mean basis or on a individual basis whether these individuals actually reduced their calories by something close to 500 calories a day. So there's really no way to tell whether this differential weight loss is due to compliance with the calorie restriction protocol or something special about calcium or dairy. And in fact, I did write a letter to on the latest one of these, wrote a letter to the editors, which the author responded to, and he said, well, they're all within plus or minus, so apparently they have the information, plus or minus 100 calories a day on either side. So he felt they were compliant. But if it's still possible that That's a pretty big range, 200 calories a day for the small level of weight loss that was observed. It could have been due simply to the calorie restriction. One other thing about that information is all of those studies were funded by the National Dairy Council. Dietary guidelines around the same time, advisory committee was addressing this issue as well. They found that higher dairy product consumption is not clearly associated with weight gain, so they're saying there's no reason to avoid dairy products if you are concerned about your weight. So they say that. And then they say there's insufficient evidence on which to base a more definitive statement regarding the intake of milk products and management of body weight. So they're saying the evidence just isn't there. This is the Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee. The evidence just isn't there to suggest that milk products are helpful for weight loss. Okay. So when we looked at the literature, we decided that the current evidence really does not support the claims that adding dairy products facilitates weight loss either with or without calorie restriction. And we came to the conclusion that dairy and weight loss claims, therefore, are false and misleading. That's what the evidence shows. So our next step was to petition to the Federal Trade Commission. This is where the policy piece comes in. And we petitioned the Federal Trade Commission to prohibit the use of these advertisements on the grounds that they're false and misleading, because they are. we submitted the petition in April 2005, so roughly two years after the ad campaign had started. And in it, we requested that the Federal Trade Commission immediately and permanently discontinue the dairy and weight loss claims in advertising and marketing. We asked them also to require corrective advertising, meaning if they found that we were right, that these ads were false and misleading, that then those advertisers should have to come out and say, actually, no, dairy doesn't help with weight loss. And we asked them to work with officials from the USDA and the FDA to ensure that organizations adhere to the laws prohibiting unfair and deceptive advertising. Seems like a really good idea for these organizations, government organizations, to work together to protect consumer interests. In May 2007, and I give these dates because this is a full 2 years and a month later, we did hear back from the Federal Trade Commission. And we were delighted, actually, with what we heard back. The USDA, the Dairy Board, and this is language right from their letter, the USDA, the Dairy Board, and the Fluid Milk Board have gotten together and talked about this and have determined that the best course of action at this time is to discontinue all advertising and other marketing activities involving weight loss claims until further research provides stronger, more conclusive evidence of an association between dairy consumption and weight loss. All right, you're right, the data is just not there. We're going to pull these ads. And also in this letter, they said that the USDA and the dairy industry bodies will have any future advertising that they do will be consistent with the dietary guidelines. So consistent with the message that dairy can be part of a diet that doesn't contribute to weight gain. Okay. However, they did not require any corrective advertising, and they made no statement to the public about the false and misleading nature of these ads. What was our response to this? Well, first of all, it was like, yay, jump up and down, because it's very rare that a small nonprofit organization can, or even medium-sized nonprofit organization can have this kind of impact on messages in advertising, and I think it's especially important when the messages in advertising are, at the very least, confusing to a consumer, because the evidence just isn't there. But we issued a press release. We actually got quite a lot of coverage on this. There was a New York Times story, some regional NPR stories, 113 press stories, and 164 TV pickups. So there was a little bit of information that made it out to the public through our announcing, or this organization's announcing, this decision by the FTC. So the question that I raise, or the questions that I raise, are then, was this an important decision? And does the science really matter in policy? And I think the answer to that question is yes, the science, both at the level of the Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee and at the level of the FTC, clearly had an impact on the decision. And in fact, the backtracking that has happened has been based on that evidence of saying, until there's better evidence, we're going to pull or not utilize this specific message that dairy helps with weight loss or fat loss. What about the impact on the consumer? Well, in this case, I'm actually really worried. I think the fact that the advertisements were run for nearly four years, and there's no corrective advertising that's been recommended, I think the consumer probably still thinks that there might be a chance that if I eat more yogurt or eat more cheese or drink more milk, it might help me with my weight loss. And these ads have been ubiquitous, national, on every show and every mag, you know, all the big ones. And then, what about the impact on dairy advertising? How about the ads themselves? These are all Got Milk ads. They still say Got Milk. They've changed the language of milk your diet, lose weight, to think about your drink, which is much more neutral, right? Think about your drink. That's much more neutral. And one of the latest ones is Sarah Ramirez from Grey's Anatomy. And the language in this one is great anatomy. I'd love to show this to you. She's in a red dress, a very tight-fitting red dress. You may have even seen this ad. She's in a tight-fitting red dress. It says, in show business, first it says great anatomy. In show business, your figure, well, shows. That's why I drink milk. Studies suggest the nutrients in milk can play an important role in maintaining a healthy weight. Okay, that's legal language now, right? Staying active, eating right, and drinking 24 ounces of low-fat or fat-free milk a day helps you look your best. Bravo. So I am concerned because I fear that the consumer that still has the hourglass milk image, of course, still has the milk mustache. There was no contention about a milk mustache, but it still has a weight message. It's a healthy weight message instead of a weight loss message, which is better. But I don't think the consumers probably notice much of a difference, because basically the ad implies that you will have this actress's body if you consume 3 servings a day of this product. So what are our lessons from this? Well, so what else can consumer advocates do? Well, we can do things like hold press conferences, try to make more noise about this. One of the things that hasn't happened is not all of the Milk Your Diet, Lose Weight ads have been pulled. They're still available on the 2424 Milk website. According to the letter, that shouldn't be the case. So we could push harder and farther to try to get these ads pulled. But I think the other two questions here are really important as well. What can professionals do to reduce confusion and discourage misleading advertising? And this is just one example. This happens a lot. The food labeling laws are fairly stringent. The food advertising laws are somewhat more lenient. And oftentimes, action is only going to be taken if the campaign is national, probably causing some kind of egregious outcome. And for the most part, misleading advertising with food and health products continues and is allowed to continue. But I think it's still worth the effort and energy required to combat deceptive health claims in advertising. I think our consumers, our public, are hungry for truthful information, and I think it's the role of scientists and health promoters to hold industry accountable to having truthful, not misleading claims in their advertising products. And just my final one. So I think relative to public policy recommendations, I think it's going to be really important to focus obesity reduction campaigns on methods that have been shown to work. Let's not focus it around products that there's no evidence will help you. And again, I think there's a continued great need to hold industry accountable for misleading public health. Relative to this claim, there are no, as far as I'm aware, there's no health claims. The question is, has anything been done relative to soy milk? There, as far as I'm aware, there are no health claims that soy milk helps with weight loss. So there's no contention around that. Does that answer your question? Yes, and I totally understand that. Yes, to some degree. But because what we were really focusing on is that there was an advertising claim being made about a benefit which had not been shown. Our main focus was to show that they shouldn't be saying that this benefit is there if the evidence hasn't shown that it's there. But you're right, it's possible that that there is a benefit there that we haven't teased out yet. That is possible. And when it comes, then I will lay quiet. You know, if that evidence does turn up, I will lay quiet and happily allow them to. Does that make sense? Yeah. But you're right. And I have looked at all of the studies pretty closely. And there's weaknesses in a lot of the studies, because most of the studies were done without this question in mind, right? They were done looking at the effect of dairy or calcium on bone health. And they almost always have body weight outcomes in there. So they weren't. Most of the studies weren't specifically designed to look at this question.
I have a question. Okay. Has the FTC, how often do they require corrective advertising?
I don't know the answer to that.
I can't remember.
I'm pretty sure not very often. But it's worth asking. Actually done looking at, this was by Somerville back in the late 90s, just a study looking at a weight loss with 100% milk diet. And with 100% milk diet, people, if they complied, they lost a lot of weight. But that would be true if it was peanuts or grapefruit or tomato or as far as I'm concerned, any single food.